I'm alive. And you saw a mistake at the opening. As I went live, somebody put up the wrong thing, and it looked like an opening in the cathedral. But we changed it. And our two permanent cameras here are, shut the door over there, our two permanent cameras here are not available tonight. Because the people that I fired last night, who are volunteering, didn't do their job. So I'm having to function with a handheld camera there and a handheld camera here. And if I have to, I'll sit one on a box right in front of me and just talk to it. But I'm looking around this room tonight and see that my congregation, and don't put a camera on it. Just stay with me until I tell you to put a camera somewhere else. The director's got her hands full with people back there that are like getting a job done walking through a swamp of molasses with lead boots. So I'll direct it for these first few minutes. This is a sample of what's wrong with our church. Nobody expected me to be live tonight. And last night I had it wall to wall with Voices of Faith because Pastor would see them here. I think there are a few people in this room that were here when I gave directions at the close of last night's festival. I fired everybody and gave them a door of mercy. They can volunteer from now until next Sunday. I won't go beyond that with a decision. Or they can strike out and leave right now. Or strike out through the week. All were fired to make a point. If I have to compromise my convictions about the honor of serving the one who died for us, pay people more money than most of you that are watching me make, give them days off. The salary structure runs from $10,000 a month, some about $5,000 a month, and in between, and maybe one that gets a little bit under $600. Mouthing commitment, this is their life, coming here to serve their Lord through me in this ministry, and won't even follow a checklist. And the law of double bleep up. We have two cameras with a problem tonight. Because three guys of the old guard, not the old guard, this is the new guard that's become old, didn't do their job. And I'm looking at a handful of Voices of Faith because I got a congregation like a bunch of teenage kids that have seen their dad blow up a few times, and the family remains intact, and he gets over it. It's what some of you are thinking. I call some of the longest-standing members, several families in the church today. Some of them, the message was delivered through someone else. Others, I talked directly to. You're backslid. I don't even have to look at the record. You haven't been paying your tithe. You didn't take your first check and give it as a first fruit. You don't write your tithe immediately when you get your check before you go buy groceries. One of them I described how he looked 25 years ago when he came here, he and his wife. When their life was transformed, and I remember I almost had to beat him out of the studio to keep him from being here every night on festival. We used to start festivals at 7 o'clock, like tonight. I said, "You're backslid. You've lost your first love. You've sat the last Sunday in front of me, smiling, looking holy, jumping to your feet, applauding, and would watch your pastor bleed openly Sunday morning and go home leaving somebody else to bandage him up. What's worse, through me, the Lord who died for you, being crucified afresh, by your carnal self-retirement from cross-bearing and growing in the Lord. Right or wrong, you quit tithing, yes. You've lost your first love, yes. Well, you and your wife go find another church. And don't even think about ever coming to this church again until on your knees you convince me that you return to your first love." Not one. If I have a service at the cathedral next Sunday, there'll be large holes in the congregation without some major changes. You've seen me before. Let me tell you something. This is reminiscent of the Sunday I told a congregation in the same state as this one, just a little larger now. Out of faith, wanting somebody else to solve their problems, keeping me on trial like the Israelites kept God on trial. And the Spirit of God came upon me as I was taking an offering. And I said, "I came here thinking I was going to rescue a church that needed my help, stay a couple of years and go on. God didn't only prepare me for this church, He prepared you," I said to the congregation then, "for my ministry. Now, I'm announcing to you now, as I went to Joshua," and this is where the phrase came into this church, as old as Joshua. God told Joshua what he was going to do and what he was to tell the people to do. He told Joshua not to tell them. They didn't know why they were doing what they were doing, as ridiculous as it looked, and they didn't know what would happen if they did it. God was testing them. They were simply to march, because Joshua told them what to do and how to do it, march and keep their mouth shut. God had it for 40 years with a group of people that kept him on trial. And I'm sure, as I said that Sunday, he bent over heaven and watched to see as they marched around that city to hear the whisper of the first grumble or the first, "I can't take it, I quit." Well, they'd have been slaughtered like the generation before them. And I said, "I'm not on trial one more day with this church. You're on trial with me. Now, you have watched me fight battles from every force outside this church. And you've seen me lead the fight. And many of you are in this church because you tuned in as I was leading the battle. And you think this is just going to be another, you're going to kick our behind and then things will be as they were and somebody else will step up and do it. Yeah? Who did you think when I put out the plea yesterday that we were going to run by volunteers? Who did you think was going to sort the messages and mail the passes to you this morning. All the staff were fired. I made it very clear today is a holiday. And plenty of you could get in here or call your boss and tell him you're sick. You've lied before, so don't give me any self-righteous stuff. Who do you think is going to clean this studio? Oh, that's beneath some of you. My wife has made it into a pleasant place. Oh, look what Mommy and Daddy Spiritual have done for me. They've created a nice little place for me to come to. Who's going to clean the cathedral? Who's going to do security this morning? I want to tell you, I'm sick to my stomach at some of you calling and saying, I'm available for 4 hours the fourth Sunday of the month. What kind of token tip are you offering to the Lord who died for you? Now, some of you are saying, well, I've seen the old man get, of course, don't say old man to my face, but I've seen the old man get upset before, and he gets over it, not this time. I told you about 7, 8 years ago when I announced openly, without any deceit or hidden behavior, I wasn't traveling with men. I had about one trip left in me, that's all. And I was going to make sure that this last one was with the right person. I paid the price subject to all the criticism of these judging self-righteous people out there that if they were in my place, no way they would have kept their gonads and their britches. And I think God's choice has been obvious in the helpmate He gave me. And some of you have still not repented for your judging of your pastor. Well, I'm telling you, I got one more trip left, one more fight I'm willing to do to try to save this congregation. I want you to understand, this ministry here needs you. I and my ministry don't need any of you. All I need is a microphone and one camera. And hired mercenaries in this film city and television city to man the uplink. I sure don't need that mountain. I took it in faith and asked you to join me. I look around at Secret 16. One of the thermometers doesn't even reach a quarter of the way, and the other one just a little over half. You're backslid, most of you. You're onlookers. I read this afternoon, David, in his old age, used to leading the fight, is up and ready to go. And the people said, sir, if 10,000 of us fall, it won't make much difference. If you go down, we've all lost. He had people whose hearts God had touched. He protested. They said, you stay in the city, we'll go do the battle. Well, I got about one battle left in me to try to salvage this one night stand. Congregation full of people that I haven't gotten to yet, just like the couple I called and said, you're backslid, or the husband. And you and your wife are going to find another church. Not like some new person that just came here. I will not allow the hypocrisy of you sitting near the front, clapping and applauding. Think of it. I pour my guts out yesterday. You don't even come to festival. Several times today, there was one or two or three people on the phone. 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in here tonight. You're a disgrace. I'm only doing this one last time. I will find people like David had, or I'll start over in another city, or forget a local congregation. I'm quite ready to go to King's House 1 next Sunday, allow 300 people in, that's all. Sell the Bibles. Sell the cathedral. Turn King's House 1 into a studio like this with a maximum of 300, and if you don't fill that, I'll cut it down to 30. I don't need the rest of my years as I finish Romans with a presumptuous band of Israelites that don't even have the spiritual consciousness of what you're a part of. You have been, I said Romans would sort the congregation out. You've been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. You better start acting like it. You are not your own. Don't talk to me about tithing. You haven't done a thing when you're tithed. You're a criminal, an eternal criminal. A thief and a robber. If you hold on to the tithe 1 24-hour period before you send them in to the place where you get your spiritual food. I'm not asking for your whole life. But where your heart and spirit is made eloquent. When the first day when I set out to prove we can run with volunteers, well, somebody else will do it. This is my last battle. You will shape up, or I will ship you out. I don't need that platform to teach Romans. I can put three blackboards on the platform of King's House 1. I don't need a half-empty auditorium. Twice is the adequate witness. We'd still have Hope Street property. Turned it into millions if you had filled it. I don't need this problem of urging you to make reservations every week. I can make the seating in King's House 1 and curtain off the rest of it for television facilities for 30 people if necessary. I will not spend the last of my days traveling through a wilderness with a recalcitrant bunch of rebels that God's not only going to string your bones in some grave somewhere, He's going to burn you throughout eternity. The calling and election of God is without recall, and you are not your own, and go apart in your delusion. One of those I fired that had a week to prove that he could be here for the right reason is gone permanent. Not just from the job, but from the church. He called in today and said he was looking for a place to move to and had some legal appointment tomorrow, and then on Wednesday he'd be volunteering. No, he won't. He's gone. While he was being paid and employed, he gave us no hint that he had these obligations on Monday and Tuesday. He's gone. And this is one that will not be reversed. There's a limit to my mercy, and I've reached it. And to add insult to injury, the messages that came in saying, got to look for a place tomorrow, and or today, and tomorrow, I've got some legal something. Oh, I love you for the opportunity, and thank you very much, and I'll be volunteering on Wednesday, and bless men go through, and as thy day, so shall thy strength. And There could be nothing more blasphemous than you taking the messages, the nitro pills that I have preached these 29 years to strengthen you with the problems and the pains and the tribulations you face and the valleys you confront while you are faithfully serving the Lord who died for you and using them to justify God giving you those kinds of blessings when you have forfeited your place in the kingdom and run from His calling. That's like a screaming sinner who committed the unpardonable, claiming the scapegoat. You sin willfully, there remaineth no more remission for your sins. I made it clear last night what those that were fired had to do today. This person could have said something last night. And then they catalog. Not only did those that were fired volunteering but not doing their job, there are those in you that can confirm, did I or did I not say twice at the close of festival, you that have been fired, if you want to think about your job, you better be volunteering and return to your position or post tomorrow morning. I'm not guaranteeing you will be able to do what you've been doing, but you return to the place or the position you had. And if I have volunteers there, we'll give you something else to do. Is that what I said?
Yes, sir.
Twice. After starting my day at 5 a.m. this morning, and you know about what time it ended, I have to keep looking at this handheld camera over here because these two won't work. And I got an old guard engineer on the way. Well, this is the second strike for those that were fired that are supposed to be proving that they are here for a right reason. About 10:30 this morning, I find that all but the one who had his house hunting and legal problem, they were all here this morning at the time they were supposed to be here. Sitting in here, acting as voices of faith. Now, how does that represent returning to the position that they would have taken if they hadn't been fired? How does that even come close? You know what it smells like? We'll show him what it's like to function without us. He'll have to ask us if he wants us to do, knowing full well that the passes and the messages were not being sorted or mailed out, knowing full well that assignments given to all of them were not being done. Then one of them, a little show-offy kid, made a decision, which is what his problem has been. He decided there were too many voices of faith here. There's too many voices of faith here when every phone is manned and three people are standing behind them. He decided too many voices of faith here. So I'm going to go walk a beat at King's House 1 as if he was needed over there. He was told to return to the position. And if I had a volunteer doing it, if he had decency, he would make sure that he was helping train the volunteer in the job. And after it was trained, ask what he could do to help. I'm dealing with a sick, presumptuous, overfed, rich congregation like Ephesus. church being not where it was when I came here. Plush, beautiful cathedral, all prepared for them. All I got to do is make a reservation. Walk by treasures inestimable in their value, but in terms of spiritual meaning, beyond value. Everything's prepared, and the pastor's going to pour out a message we can't get anywhere else. And then I go home and think I've done something, the few of you that still pay your tithe. No, folks, this is it. I'm not going to spend the rest of my ministry beating a dumb ass that doesn't want to move. You got a week. If there was the slightest bit of faith in or identity with the blood of Christ, this building would be full of people tonight. Well, I remember the days when people didn't even take dinner. They left work and they came here. Well, those were the days I was on 24 hours a day locally, full power station. 7 o'clock was festival time. It ended whenever. This was your first love, the place where you got the food for life eternal. That isn't the case anymore. You can pick it up when you want to pick it up on the internet. You can listen at 10 o'clock. And there's no pressure put on you. It's just a teaching unfolding of the word. You can listen by shortwave with a half a brain. You can record on the VCR. And there's always the cathedral on Sunday if something more important is not in the place. And I'll sit there and clap. It's the pastor I want, as long as I don't have to do anything. I got a congregation like that fabled Houston boy that I told you used to attend my dad's church in Oroville. You'd pay tithe. You'd pay tithe, but the church could burn down. And we were in a crisis where somebody, everybody had to give just a little bit more. He wouldn't give 1 cent. Wouldn't give 1 cent above his tithe. You fixed yourself into a stopping point, and how dare anybody quote Psalm 84, bless men go through their valleys. How dare anybody quote that and leave out the introductory passage and the long portion of it on the word passing. Blessed is the man who passing. No stopping point. No resting place. No, okay, I've got it worked out. I pay my tithe or this little tip, whichever it is you do. I get to the cathedral when I can. And I can give 4 hours the fourth Thursday of the month. Why don't you spit on the Bible? Better yet, why don't you just take a dump on it? You will not degrade me as your pastor any longer. You don't own me. I am not belonging to you. God has me and only He and none of you, and I serve you for Christ's sake, but I cannot be serving you for Christ's sake with your self-serving, presumptuous unwillingness to step forward in a crisis. I said, Sunday, this day will not come again. I've threatened in the past. I will not. I don't need these employees. All I have to do is just cut the ministry down. Cut it down into paid mercenaries that don't compromise my convictions because I'm not their pastor. I pay them, they do the job, or they get out. I don't have to filter this message through a modern band of Israelites that say, shrugging their shoulders, it's your problem, Pastor. When did it become my problem? My problem is getting you to march to Zion. And when you are so recalcitrant as the Israelites that you don't want to grow anymore, and you don't want to make room for a crisis where you have to step in the gap, then I'm, by God's own order, to shake the dust of that place off my feet. I love hard. I'm not a quitter. But you will not insult my Savior and have the dignity of being the place from which this ministry goes to the world with the hypocrisy of those that I call today. You sit on the front seats and have lost their first love. I said last night as we showed Anguilla, I'm 74. I have a beautiful and dedicated helpmate. Beautiful facilities in Anguilla. No problem. Go there and broadcast to the world. Don't need you. You've been given an opportunity. You're going to crap on it one last time. Because if you do, you ain't getting another time. Don't count on the service being at the cathedral Sunday if we're still functioning with volunteers. And I can tell you four of those fired ones that are volunteers tonight, they strike out one more time, they won't make it to Sunday. I've drawn a line in the sand. There's only two persons that know how absolute and final this line is. God and the devil, apart from me and my wife. And the devil knows you don't show some of the spirit of those that wanted to spare David. Your day's gone. Again, I'm not leaving. You're going to shape up or I'm shipping you out. Well, I'll take my money and go. I want to tell you something. I won't even miss it. Neither will God. It used to be that 60% of the monthly budget came from Los Angeles. Not even 20% comes from Los Angeles. You bunch of spoiled, overfed brats. You're not needed. The tragedy is, like I said last night, the rope fellows that held the ropes for Paul. You could have a glorious entrance into the kingdom. Now it's shape up or ship out. I'm live. We'll function with inadequate cameras. We'll function with an inadequate crew. We'll function with voices of faith running to try to find the phones that are ringing. And I don't think there'll be many phones ring, but this will replay at an hour when people are watching. Oh, he's not going to be live, so there's no reason to watch anymore, except if I come to church, I don't even need to watch on Sunday. And if I'm going to watch, I'll just watch on Sunday or pick up the messages at 10 o'clock. That doesn't put any pressure on me. That helps me. Well, I'm sure there are some people that are satellite watchers, internet, KU band, and shortwave across this nation. That will respond at least in faith and prayer and hope I end up in your city. This ministry will not stop. The place from which it has been coming will stop. You didn't pay for the cathedral. You didn't pay half of what came in. That's been the case with every secret. But at least past secrets, we were able to get the pledges, even though the actualization was but a percentage. This time we didn't even get the pledges. Go find another church before I throw you out. Or shape up, because I'm shipping you out if you don't. This ministry 29 years ago started with about 10 phones and 10 voices of faith. I can do that again. My wife has beautified the facilities for a cancer, a sick cancer within. Like putting makeup on a woman dying of cervical cancer. Now face yourself. Get down on your knees and ask, if the Lord were coming before I wake up tomorrow, which He won't, because I know the day at least, don't know the hour, the year when it happens, I know at what time will be the Feast of the Trumpets. You notice I haven't said He won't come in 2004. I haven't said He will. But if you thought He was coming tonight, get down and look in the mirror and tell the Lord, I've done today and I'm going to bed tonight having done all that I would want to do on the day that you're coming. And don't lie to yourself. Don't make God sicker than He is at the despite you're doing to the blood of His Son. Have you heard me talk like this before? Not recently. You've heard me talk like this before, and then crisis has passed and it's business as usual. Not this time. I'm 74, I have to count the hours to finish Romans. I could probably sit down in front of a camera without the pastoral load with a recalcitrant, I repeat, 21st century bunch of presumptuous, overfed Israelites that think God owes you something. I could probably do 3 or 4 messages a week on the network. Now, if you want a pastor, if you want a cathedral, you better prove it. And get your ass out of wherever it is and get your bodies in this studio. I said to one today, you got a business, I know what you're doing. But your business would not have been destroyed to be here this morning saying on this first day when you're getting volunteers, I'm here to help in some way. And the ones I fired that were given the opportunity to come here today as a volunteer with the hopes of saving their job, come and plop their silly butt down to be a voice of faith. While the jobs weren't being undone and then wouldn't even prepare properly for festival tonight. The next move's yours. I'm just sitting here with a line drawn like Joshua. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Start right now. On a telephone or a cell phone while you're on the way here. Now get on the telephone. Get rid of that song. And whoever's playing the music, you better find a brain real quick. A melodic squirrel wouldn't play, "I'm broke." Now get a song up that's in the repertoire of things that I like. I can't believe that song. I've been talking for 45 minutes. And he had the chance to pick the first song of the night. And he picks that asinine song. Give me another song, but not a dumb one. This shows what idiots I've been dealing with. Here is one who calls and says, he's home watching. "I'm an ex-employee," gives me his name. "I'm asking to volunteer tonight and all this week from 8:30 till 8:30 in the morning." Well, that was his regular shift. That was his regular shift. Now, I think I said, if you even want to have a chance of getting rehired, you better report to what you have been doing. And now you're asking and bothering me tonight instead of showing up at your post. I think that's what I said. You show up at your post to do the position you've been doing as a volunteer. I'm asking to volunteer tonight. You know, if you're in this state and you take an IQ test, it will break the machine on the lower range. You give me another message like that, you can't volunteer for anything. You're too dumb to come to my church. This is a fear-mongering expression. This man's smarter than that. You ain't doing me any favor asking to volunteer tonight. You were told to show up to your post. Why in the hell are you sitting home watching instead of getting your ass in here to answer phones up until I said you better live at this studio in between your shift? This is a lazy pretty boy I've dealt with too many times. You damn well better be at your post as a volunteer or find another church. And don't ask to do it, you just get your ass there. If I don't want you there, I'll send you somewhere else. Anybody else want to try something that stupid? Get on the telephone. Here's one that's starting to get the message. "I'm so-and-so, I know who it is. We'll be in the studio in about 15 minutes. And I also want to figure out, I want to see if you can figure out, if you have been cleared to be a voice of faith, or an usher, or you've been cleared for security anywhere, or any other post, then don't write me a message and say, 'I'm available to volunteer.' Get your ass here and ask what you can do. What's complicated about this? I'm asking for people to make commitments permanent. You owe 16.8 hours a week to God. That's the tithe of your time. I'm tired of these little piecemeal, I have 2 hours here and 2 hours there. Don't give me that. You're not that busy. So that's the way you schedule your love life with your wife? Be in bed at a certain time every fourth Thursday of the month, and I'll see if I can get it up. You make me sick. What are you laughing at? Maybe you'll remember that application. I want people who mean business. If you've been cleared with access as a voice of faith volunteer, I want you to renew the commitments that you've made. They're permanent. And then I want more in the immediate weeks ahead of this crisis, this week in particular. Just get here. I had to chastise somebody this morning when there were at least 8 more voices of faith than we normally have about that hour. I said, did you ask them, are they here as a voice of faith? Or are they responding to my call for help to be trained at anything to give us a bench of volunteers? No, I didn't ask them. I said, find a brain. There are people that are intimidated. They don't want to fail. They're coming in here to respond to their pastor's call. And the only place they feel comfortable is going in and being a voice of faith. And they're going to sit there and wait for somebody to ask them, are you here to be trained, to work, to help us? Or are you just here as a voice of faith? Which just here as a voice of faith is not to diminish that. But help me out. If you're responding to my call in this emergency to prove that we can get by with volunteers until I find somebody that wants to work here because they want to give their life and serve God and find it the highest honor that they can have. They're not working for nothing. Don't give me this. I'll bet you if the Pope sent a call to anybody in Los Angeles, I need you at my side next week. Come and clean the Sistine Chapel until I can get you with me. They'd drop what they were doing and get on a plane and get there. Hebrews means what it says when it says, obey those that have rule over you because they watch for your souls. I may be the only pastor in this town that truly watches for your soul. I don't care whether you like me or not. In the natural, yeah, I do. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. And henceforth let no man trouble me. Now, you either want to be a part of this ministry, however remote, or you don't. And I'm sending out the call and quit making it hard for me. If you've already been cleared to be in these facilities, any one of them, then get in your car and get here. I'm asking you to try to ask the same question. Who do you think's going to mail the passes out tomorrow? Well, I made a reservation. Who do you think's going to read that reservation and mail the pass to you? I don't know. Volunteers. Who's going to be here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock if I do a festival? Volunteers or nobody? Who's going to maintain this studio? Simple cleaning jobs. Who's going to get the toilet and the bathroom ready for you that come here as voices of faith? You remind me of a bunch of teenagers. Mama does it. I've been disappointed in one of these teenage girls, or 20-year-old, or whatever she is, that we hired. Comes to work with cornrows and braids, and I say, you know, not me, but she was asked, well, it's obvious you didn't do that. No, Mama did it for me. You got a job, you're being paid, move out of your mama's house. Grow up. I don't need people working for me. I wonder which mama braids the hair of those women that are in the Marines or the Navy in Iraq. Grow up! Or stay home. Help your mama buy a bottle to feed you. I have always said this is not an ordinary church. It's an army. It's an army of mature Christians fed by the Word that will stand in the judgment seat of Christ and share every reward I have, but not the way you're performing now. Now get on the telephone. Oh, here's Costa Mesa. I'm on my way to studio. God's in the forefront. Damn the devil. That's the kind of reaction I want. But put your name down next time. Tell the voice of faith your name. I'm not going to go in the other room and go to the computer and figure out what your King's Tither number is. Tell me who I'm expecting on the way to the studio. Go on telephone. Well, voices of faith are gathering. Here's a message from Garden Grove, KU Band. Husband and wife, we're on our way to the studio to help in any way we can. Well, right now, you need to be here as voices of faith, except for people that are wanting to be trained. It's hard to train you while we're being live programs, so it's better for you to be voices of faith. But I want you to clarify to someone that can deliver the message to my wife, Reggie, who's coming in here, is coming to volunteer some set times this this week or in the weeks ahead to be trained. And I want to know, people that are coming here to say, I want to volunteer this week. Maybe you'll give me the job you took away from those that didn't treat it properly. I want you to step forward and identify whether you are wanting to be a permanent part or whether you're going to set aside the 16 hours, you, 0.8, you owe to God, and let us assign you to some volunteer task. And I don't want to have to book you an hour here and an hour there. You can give 4-hour segments or 8-hour segments or 12-hour segments. This ministry can be manned with volunteers. If you'll step up and bear a cross, now get on the telephone. Well, I hear from Hawthorne calling to advise Dr. Scott I'll be there in an hour. Okay. That's what I want. I'm on my way to the studio. That's great. That's great. We have an engineer in the building now working, trying to solve the problem of the cameras. I want to take you to a passage in David's ministry and life, but not until I find out if I can get this camera fixed. So you just get on the telephone. All of you around the nation, you may think I'm only talking to Los Angeles. You better not let the devil trick you into... This is a live festival, much earlier than normal. Get on the phone and bring some faith into this room. Come on. You know, some of you were not here when we had to do every week, every night, what we're doing tonight to survive. Well, I'm not going to keep doing it the rest of my life, but I'm willing to do it this time. People are responding. Mercedes, thank you, Pastor, for being there, and thank you for caring enough to correct us. Thank God for Dr. Scott and Melissa. I could use a few more messages like that from some of you out there that are just sitting there like a gimlet-eyed lobster. Lamarada, I'm in my car on the way to the studio within 40 minutes. Gives me his name. Damn the circumstances. I'm on my way. That's what I want. This is kind of commitments I am looking for. Almdale, Dr. Scott, I'll be here at the studio Monday to Friday. Monday through Friday, it looks like. 8:30 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. to volunteer and be trained. On Saturday, Sunday, I'll be available around the clock for whatever you need me to do. I want to be one of your Marines, sir, and hold your arms up through this battle. They gave me the name and 3 different phones. I like that. Now, some of you men out there want your wife to have your dinner ready for you and your clothes pressed and washed. My wife's just as pretty and just as lovely as yours. I haven't got as many years to take advantage of it as most of you. And she's working practically around the clock. first years of our marriage, we were together 24 hours a day. All she did was take care of me. It's what she still wants to do. But God gripped her. She'd been infected with my burden. And she wants to lighten my load to make it possible for me to study more. Now, some of you men need to kick your lazy wife out. Why would I have to have staff people sort messages and mail passes Monday through Wednesday? You can't give your wife up for 4 hours. Or if you're both working, both of you get in here on Monday night or late Sunday night when most of the reservations have already been made. You better start waking up. God owns you. I'm telling you, God doesn't want what the New Testament Christians did. Give everything up. When did you last write a protest or march around a corner or a street or go to your boss and complain because they withhold close to 30% of what you make? You have to work till, I think it's June, before the rest of the money of the year belongs to you. That's what, throughout the year, if you take it off the front, government takes. And you cheat on God, and the government's taking that money from you because that gives you police protection. Yeah. And fire protection. And other government services. Well, 80% of that is justified as government services is paying some fat, worthless bureaucrat to insult you at everywhere from the post office to the DMV. But you've adjusted yourself to, that's the price you pay for living in this country. And you're not willing to pay the price that God claims for the right to live eternal and under His care and with His blessing while you're down here. I got a sick congregation that stands up and applauds and quit tithing a long time ago. Well, you haven't stopped giving to the government because of George Bush's economic recession. You better straighten yourself out. You owe 16.8 hours of the 168 hours in every week. Well, you're taking 10% of sleeping time? Yeah. And you're coming off easy because you're pretty worthless during those sleeping hours. Now face up to reality. I'm sick of most of you that haven't already got a KU band. $500 on an average. One guy set up his own father's down in Texas, and it cost $200. How quick will you go through $500 if you get sick and lose work? Face the truth, you've lost your first love. It's so long most of you forgotten when you first tuned in, and something in your heart told you you were hearing what you've been looking for. Now you take it for granted like some overfed, rich, fat guy is sort of turned off on gourmet food. Get on the telephone and understand this is a life and death battle we're in. It could be the last one if you don't come to the front lines with me. Now get on the phone. All right, Huntington Park. Pastor, I came in the morning as a voice of faith, and I'm also willing to volunteer time the rest of the day and night and the weeks ahead. You're on. It would be a pleasure to clean the studio and mail reservations. I'm here in the studio and can start to help immediately. Well, I can tell you when this festival's over, there's some people here in the studio that are going to go and clean all the passes up and get all of them that have been called in thus far in the week is going to go out and be ready to go out tonight. So don't wait for me to tell you. Just line up with the door of the computer room when this festival's over. I'm on my way, Long Beach says, to the studio now, making it to the, I'm walking up to the door. Well, I look around, I'm sure he's already in here. Santa Ana, let Doc know I'm on my way to the studio. Take me an hour to get there. I'm going to say it again. Tell me your name. Yeah, it's a bit cokey or something. California, I never heard of that. Maybe that's Colorado. I don't know. This is the first time I'm on my KU band looking at the fountain. I feel like right now me and my dish are being baptized. God's word is going out around the world. Okay, one more song to take your calls, and then you're going to sit down, and I'm going to talk to you for a minute. One more song. Okay, sit down. Finish the calls you have and drop the phone number off. Don't take any calls for a few minutes. Here's Richland, Washington. Thank you, Dr. Scott, for taking care of my soul. I'm following you accordingly in appreciation. Tulsa, Oklahoma, KU Band, number 37. Pastor, keep doing what's in your heart. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for watching out for our souls. Bloomington, Indiana, calling to keep faith in the room. I remember when I first heard you, I'd never heard anybody like you. I still haven't. Thank you for being there. I'm going to be on the front lines in prayer. San Fernando, Pastor, one of my regular Voice of Faith times is Monday from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. I'd like to volunteer to help do the reservations or whatever else you would like me to do. I've helped in the past with reservations. I will schedule other times as a Voice of Faith to make up for those 4 hours. Gives me the phone number. Don't wait for me to call you. Get in here tomorrow. Morning, noon, night. There's always passes to be mailed between now and Monday or now and Wednesday. And there are other things to be done. Just get yourself here. Sun City, we're reconfirming our comments. We will drive down on Wednesday and we'll be there to do whatever needs to be done on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I've made my reservations for Sunday. But just get to this studio and make yourself available for whatever is needed. If we send you to the cathedral for security or whatever we have you do. That was Eto Bicotti, Ontario, Canada. They put their KU band up. They're number 66, that's a stick in the devil's eye. Put it up today and I love it. It's coming in fantastic. I can hardly believe. Never had such clarity and picture and sound. Fantastic. You know, there are people who say you can't pick it up that far north. This makes that a lie, doesn't it? Got your Bible, open it to 2 Samuel. Came to pass, 17th chapter, came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim. Remember, he was running from Absalom. Their Bible was written into the Promised Land, the place of faith. The name of the place, Mahanaim, as I've told you many times, it's the place of two hosts. Where Jacob, returning to meet Esau, God showed him an angelic host that outnumbered the host coming against him. And his faith was fixed on that other host. David, fleeing with his own tribe, Judah, going to the traitor Absalom. And God even directed his path until he walked the very path that in type set the stage for Jesus' own trip to Calvary, to the garden to pray. And I'm sure he said, I'm going to Mahanaim. Like, I open the book to passages that will bring me face to face with God's faithfulness as revealed in his word. In that case, as revealed in the land and the name of the city. Came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, not Israelites, not Judah, heathen, and Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodabar. I preached a message about Lodabar. I got a book written about it, Place of No Pastures. Didn't feast on the food the way this congregation has. Enriched beyond any congregation on the face of this earth and maybe in the history of the church. And taking it for granted. And Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogelim. Who is this Barzillai? Go a chapter later. 31st verse, I'll come back to it. 19th chapter. And Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he, Barzillai, was a very great man. In 29 years there are people in this church that God has blessed and prospered. When I came here, some of you were nothing. And God has blessed you and prospered you. You hold certain honor and position in the jobs that you have. You're very great men or very great women. Some of you in professions like law and accounting and medicine, and you have clients or patients that depend upon you. Some of you are executives or bosses, and you say go, and people go. You say come, and people come. You're very great men and very great women. You need to remember the pit from which you were dug. This Ammonite, the one from Lodabar and Barzillai, very simple thing. David was old, betrayed, violated by people he trusted, still loving them. For he would cry when, and cry so hard when Absalom was killed. Stupid Joab rebuked him. Abandoned by those that he had rescued from the Philistines. And these strangers brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they, these heathen, said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. You know, I didn't finish Revelation, but when the millennium comes, and that resurrection of the saints has already occurred at the rapture, and David in an immortalized and resurrected body will be king on this earth for 1,000 years. And you and I that are faithful in and to the blood of Christ will be ruling and reigning for that little piece of eternity, 1,000 years, even over David. I wouldn't be surprised to see these heathen of another age outside the egotistical, self-righteous camp of Judah. They're being treated kindly by David as he did Mephibosheth, the crippled son of Saul. Being strengthened by these strangers, at Mahanaim, David numbered the people that were with him, sent forth a third under Joab, a third under Abishai, one of his mighties, and the third under the hand of Ittai, the Gittite, who came to him earlier, a Philistine. And David said, "Why are you here?" And he came with his men out of respect for David and at risk of his life as a Philistine. He came to provide a bodyguard and a strength to David. And the king said unto the people, "I will surely go forth with you myself also, being strengthened, an old man to go into war. I'll go with you also." But the people answered, "Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us, neither they don't even care if half of us die. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us, therefore now it is better that thou succor us out of the city." Literally, be to us a succor. We can go to war and go with enthusiasm and with heart, to know we're putting ourselves between you, our leader, and the enemy. The king said unto them, "What seemeth you best I will do." And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. And he sent them forth to a great victory. And after the victory, he's coming back from the wilderness, and he's going to cross Jordan, and he's going to head toward Jerusalem. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him, this 80-year-old man, over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king a sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Some of you are sitting out there drinking it in on Sunday or with your satellite or whatever medium you listen to. You're great men and women now. You did your time years ago. You may have done your 7 months. You're laying it up for you and your family. You haven't time to come in this crisis. How many of you remember watching on TV when they marched on Baghdad? Never mind what you think about Bush and his policy and whether we should be there or not. The boys made a commitment, those Marines and those foot soldiers of the Army, those tank and Hummer drivers. You remember the conditions as you watch the embedded or impacted news people? How little sleep they got? It was battle time. Didn't matter. How many hours did we watch them in that drive on Baghdad? I'm not asking some of you to sell your businesses. God might. Not asking you to drop what you're doing like the disciples did when Jesus went by and said, follow me. I pay better than a lot of you that are working on jobs and you're afraid to give your life to God. That's hardly an analogy with these soldiers. He was a very great man. King said unto Barzillai, come, thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. He had come to help David when he was in need. And Barzillai said, I said unto the king, how long have I to live? 80. That I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? Go. I'll help the pastor if everybody can see I'm not one of the ordinary peons that has to come here and clean a toilet. Oh, somebody else can do it. I'm a very great man. When thou gettest wealth in the land of faith, God said, to put it in proper long-term perspective, remember it is the Lord that giveth you the capacity to get wealth. You ever ask why you're healthy when other people around are dying at your age? You want to trade God and His angel for those that have given their first fruits for the Los Angeles Police Department or the fire station near you or emergency hospitals that are settling down or shutting down? A too much number of them that you go in for one thing and you get a staph infection or get treated like you're in a cattle drive. And you try to tell me that you remember the pit from which you were dug. Try to tell me that you have the first love that brought you to this ministry when the Word of God hit you when you really needed it. And now that you don't need it as much, you can watch your pastor and this ministry hang in the balance and not even get in your car and give one night to get an education every week. I went around the clock at least one day. Which, by the way, you're benefiting from. You don't want any credit. I'm this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? This is who went to succor David at Mahanaim. Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? I don't want any credit. You needed me at Mahanaim. I came down from my secure heights to join with God's man. I bet there's a place for him in the millennium. In David's kingdom then, and the one we supervise. He says, I'm going to be a supervisor. I'm going to remind David in case he forgets. Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan. Make sure you get over it safely with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Would that we had some Barzillai's in their cars tonight, or in planes. For the years I've received, I can get one of these cheap fares and fly in and be there 24 hours a day if necessary, and get a close-by nap at a motel, and be there until this crisis is weathered, and hold my pastor's arms up until some of those lackadaisical people that have fattened on the Word and have quit giving what is God's own right to take, the tithe of your time and your money. It's not a game I play. I'm at a marathon so long I can't even remember. sick to my stomach that you couldn't even make Secret 16. The number that the devil waited in all the 16s to defeat us on. He didn't defeat us because we did the things that I set out to do with Secret 16. I've only tabulated a small portion of it. We've spent at least three times what's pledged. I'm going to tell you something. I'm doing Secret 16 in 2004 all over again. You will repeat the pledges you had. We'll start all over again. And I'm going to get this. Doesn't matter whether we keep the cathedral open or not. That's irrelevant. I'm not ending my ministry. I'm just going to kick out those that are just freeloading on this ministry here in Los Angeles and holding it down and making the whole world suffer. Like Miriam, where the camp had to stop while God dealt to discipline with this prideful, presumptuous Miriam. I'm going on. This pause is the last one of this nature I'm taking with this Los Angeles recalcitrant, rebellious congregation that takes me for granted. We need some Barzillai the Gileadites. They'll come out of their secure, God having blessed fortresses and get back on the front lines to hold my hands up until I can find somebody that has put in their heart what God put in Ruth's heart to come here and work, not for free, but for the right reasons, and volunteers that will keep us going until I find those people that God alone can quicken and send here. It's pretty obvious to me that the ones I fired confirmed they ought to be fired, because when they arrived this morning, instead of doing what I told them to do, which is the pain they've given my wife for 11 months, as if we don't know how to say what we mean and mean what we say and give an order that's clear and understood, but I'm going to do something else. It's obvious when they showed up and didn't do what I told them to do, which is report to their position as a volunteer, and they came in here and sat down and started answering phones, that they showed up because they wanted a job, not because they cared about the ministry. Because if they cared about the ministry, no matter how hard they got thumped, they would have started doing the things that weren't being done because they weren't doing it. So all they did was confirm. They're not here for the right reasons yet. God needs your attention, time, and sacrifice right now. To quit you, to borrow from Paul's letter to Timothy, quit you like men, in Old English. Perform up to the standard of his trust. Get on the phone, make your commitments, and get in here. Live in this studio for the next week. Don't call and say, I'll help you if you call me, or I'm available if you want me. What language am I speaking? If you've been cleared to be a voice of faith, if you've been cleared for security, if you've been cleared for any one of these locales, just get here and knock on every door in the building till somebody will respond and say, I'm here to report for work, whatever you want me to do. Now get on the telephone. I'm from Monroe City, Indiana, and I never name the names of pastors unless they tell me I can. But this is, and he gives me his name, calling. I'm a full gospel Baptist pastor, Monroe City, Indiana, and I'm watching tonight. I've been around a long time and was a Marine back in Korea. I understand what you're doing. Please tell Dr. Scott my prayers are with him. Well, for an old Marine, I'm grateful, because that's what I'm asking for. There's churches, there are clinics for sad sack Christians all over this city. And If he wants to give me the name in his church, I'll recommend my people go to a church pastored by a Marine. What I want is Christian Marines. In quotes. I don't need some catch name. The people that understand we're in a battle. It's not an ordinary church. You're like Aaron and her holding my arms up as we send the word to the whole world. Now go and telephone. I'm busy. I got enough volunteers here as Voices of Faith that I can start distributing some of the workload that has been undone for the day, and I'm sending some of them to work. And some more of you are on the way here to work. I may put you clean in the studio. Just keep calling, folks, and get on the telephone. Me. I want, tell me why. I haven't heard from you. I want that song until you can tell me why I haven't heard from you. I don't care about all that lovey-dovey stuff, the rest of whatever she's saying. Just forget, tune all of it out, get on the phone, talk to me. But listen to that word. I can Christianize any one of these things if you just listen selectively. Tell me why I haven't heard from you. Get on the telephone. All right, it's starting to happen. Huntington Beach calling to volunteer time this week. Available Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. and all day Saturday. That's what I'm looking for. And here, the pastor's given me his name, but he didn't give me the name of his church and the address of his church. It's Baptist Full Gospel. But he says he has permission to use my name, James. It's either Like, L-I-K-E, or Leakey. L-I-K-E. I'm a World War II veteran and a Vietnam veteran. He has a great asset in Melissa. I got one, too. Well, I'm glad you have, because I agree with that. I have a great asset. Here, on the freeway, gives me her name. I'm on my way with my husband. Okay? Oh, this is a good one. I still remember the years when he was on festival just about every night. I'm at work now. I'll be in at noon tomorrow to do whatever you need, and you can move me around like a chess piece. I'm going to ask for 2 weeks off from my job. That's what I'm asking for, that kind of commitments right now. Listen to this. I'm reconfirming from Bradbury. I'm reconfirming my commitment as a Voice of Faith on Wednesday and Sunday, 7 to 11, both nights. And reconfirming my 12-hour night shift at the cathedral Friday night. Also reconfirming my commitment as a cameraman on Saturday evening at practice on Sunday. Okay? That's what I said. Again, to show you what I'm dealing with presumption, and the staff that I fired. I ask, we have programming for 10 p.m. tonight that is normal on Channel 56. I ask for a change that involves something that we've done in the last 2 days. And the volunteers that are running the program tonight, I had to get a call from my wife who's directing saying, the volunteers don't know where the tapes are that you're asking for. Now, these are tapes involving part of the Sunday morning service. And those that I fired are like Alexis and Dynasty. Or like children that are mindless in their understanding of what they've been opportune to do. Like I said, the appearance was this morning, we'll come because we want our job, but we'll just sit down and be a voice of faith and let him find out what it's like to function without us. Now, am I accusing that as their deliberate motive? No. But the one that's been influenced them the most, the devil, that's his motive. When I was 12 years old, I knew better than that. They're being given a chance to still be here. That means they get in the trenches. And no, like Alexis, I want my job. I don't want the volunteers to make it and threaten my job. So let's make it hard for the volunteers. When I was 12 years old, I'd know better than to leave a job. And if I'm being given a chance to be reconsidered, and volunteers are in training, I wouldn't have to be told to leave some tracks until a volunteer coming in for the first time would know where these tapes are that we have to replay during the week. Does anybody in here think we won't replay Sunday's service and Sunday's message sometime this week?
No, sir.
And yet there's no tracks in there that would tell the volunteers where the tapes are. I mean, they're not part of the file tapes that you can sort of read down the line and find. These are the tapes that need to be edited, if we're going to put them into the circuit, need to be used for CD-ROMs, need to be instantly available for replay. And I have to tell those that were fired who want to have a chance, who were here all day and would have sat on the phones if we hadn't caught them, there's going to be volunteers. It's normal for Doc, when he has a festival, to call for the previous Sunday and not even decide that maybe I should put a roadmap in here in case they want to use these tapes to know where they are. You make me sick. Kids in a grown-up world. Don't make me ask too many times. I need your help. God needs your help. And it's time for you to choose up sides. Now get on the telephone. Brooksfield, Kentucky. I'll rearrange all my schedules to be out there in Los Angeles tomorrow. I like that. Some of these kids I hired better grow up real fast. Or somebody's going to take their place. Santa Monica, Pastor, I'm 87 years old, and I'm too weak to come to the cathedral because I ache all the time. But the main thing I want to do is follow Doc as he follows Christ. So I will come tomorrow if Doc can allow me to. My knees, arms, and feet are weak, but I'll do what I can. Well, I'll have somebody else pick the phone up for you if we have to. You can talk. Get on down here. They'll let you in. You sit down to answer phones. Get on the telephone. I'm 74. Age is a number.
Yes, sir.
Let your aches and pains be healed as you come in faith. Go on telephone. Now, I got voices of faith standing here without phones to answer. I'm going to send them out to sweep sidewalks and go clean the cathedral or something if you don't get on the phone and call. Now, come on. We're live. It's not a rerun. Now, get on the telephone and keep faith in here and keep your commitments flowing in. I'm still looking for people that want to come here and give their life. What's so strange about that? You prove that you can hold my wife's administrative arms up until she can spend a little more time with me. I ain't going to blink at paying you $10,000 a month, but you're going to earn it. I'm not asking you to build a poorhouse. What's the matter with you? A chance to work for God full time and get paid. That didn't happen to me until I graduated with a doctorate from Stanford. I have killed myself earning scholarship at Stanford. And come Friday afternoon, I'm on the freeway. You know, legally it's about 4.5 hours. But I'd usually beat it. And I'd work almost nonstop through the weekend and after the services on Sunday night. I'm out of Oroville heading down to Stanford, getting in about 3 or 4 in the morning. I didn't get paid for that. All of my college years, from the time I was 19, I was carrying a full load. I remember Willard Cantlin coming by to preach for my dad. I still remember a Sunday morning service. Don't remember any of the details. But I remember him preaching about commitment and telling a story about a shipwreck off the coast of Ireland and a young man that swam out and rescued people and pulled them to the shore, so exhausted that people grabbed him, wouldn't let him go one more time. They had to hold him down because he wasn't going to make another swim. I still remember Willard's voice imitating that young man crying, "Have I done my best?" It still stands out because I made up my mind, whatever I did, I'd do my best. And even during my doubting years, the 3.5 years, out of respect to my dad, I wouldn't let it go public that I'd lost my faith. I did the dirty work. I drove by not long ago. Saw the fence that I built around the parsonage as a teenager. 3 and 4 in the morning, night after night. And still graduating with a shortened term and with honors that got me into Stanford as a candidate for a scholarship, and I got it. Christianity is a sorry state today. It's what can God do for me instead of... Kennedy at least roused the Peace Corps by saying, that's not what my country can do for me, what I can do for my country. I think that's a silly commitment, to tell you the truth, considering the country and what it won't do for us. And the bureaucratic monsters that take an oath to uphold the Constitution and then spend the rest of their time denying it. Better ask, don't ask what God can do for me, what can I do for God? Now get on the telephone. This is Monroe City, Indiana again. Hi, Dr. Scott. I'm Mrs. James. Is it Like or Leake? But it's L-I-K-E. My husband has already called. We're listening now via satellite. My husband's a pastor of a Baptist church. The name of the church, listen to this, you people that live around Monroe City, Indiana, Wilson Creek Baptist Church, 6722 South State Road, 61. Wilson Creek Baptist Church, 6722 South State Road, 61, Monroe City, Indiana. My husband's a veteran of World War II in Korea. He's a Marine and a pastor. We've recently started watching your program. Enjoy it. Your ministry's in our prayers. Don't get discouraged. Well, if you live in that area, go see a pastor that joins hands with me in encouragement. And it has the quality and the character to not try to condition his call by saying, I don't agree with everything Dr. Scott does, but I think probably any two of us with a sane mind would agree that we go to restaurants and don't always order the same food. I mean, it's such an obnoxious statement. Well, I don't agree with everything that you do, but extend a hand of fellowship. I follow God with my sheep, and they follow God with their sheep, and I've said across this nation, when a pastor's willing to say, I appreciate the teaching that you're doing, period. And I'm saying, go see that pastor if you live in that area. People say, can you recommend a church in our area? Not if they're not willing to encourage me. It's a two-way street. Thank you for the call. Right now, I want you folks here in Los Angeles and a few others that are going to take a week off and fly in here. And remember this. First, there's not going to be any response. Then there's a mounting response. Have pity on my wife. Pity's the right word. I started at 5 this morning. She's going almost round the clock. There's going to be a congestion of training, and they're not even through all the messages that came in last night. So when you get here, make sure you let somebody know you're here to work. But then don't stand around. Get in here and answer phones. If necessary, hang a piece of paper or get a white scarf or something to signal, I'm here to work, in case they forget that you knocked on the door. Because it's going to take a while to shift all these people and train people that don't know one room from another here. You understand me? Let's work together to get this done, and then maybe some of these people that I'm given a chance to be hired back will wake up, grow up, and understand this is not a job, and this is not a game, this is war. And you're going to carry your weight or get out of here. Now get on telephone. Redlands. Redland. Pastor, I understand the wonderful privilege. I want to give my life. I'll be down there tomorrow, Tuesday, 6 p.m. to whatever time. Okay. We'll look you over and... You know, you can't blame me. I've heard lots of words. I want to see performance. You know that person I talked about last night that wrote the letter and came back with a cutie remark of, well, at least we're down to the last paragraph. You that have been around me for enough years ought to know when my war face goes on. And I don't need cute remarks or humor. This is life and death for this church. Familiarity has bred contempt on the part of some of you. If any humor going to be done, I'll do it. As the Lord's leading me. I don't need to prove the distance I'll go in love for any one of you. But I don't love to be loved enough to get love and not give it to the loss of your soul. Now, some of you are starting to respond. Somebody called and said, it's like old times, let's keep the faith and keep persisting until victory comes in Jesus' name. That's from San Francisco. Some of you people better understand this is serious business. I want you to mean business. Get on the phone. Now there was a victory mounting, and now it's lagging because I have Voice of Faith standing here and the phones aren't ringing. Come on, can't you? I feel like Jesus who said to his disciples, can't you watch with me 1 hour? Come on, get these phones busy. And that's enough of tell me why I haven't heard from you. I want my wife to sing that song she wrote that she introduced Sunday, Lamb of God. You get on the telephone. Okay, listen to this. I'm here for the whole week for you, sir, from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m., and I'm going to take 2 weeks vacation from work and give you 12 hours a day to be trained anywhere. It's an honor. I will try to get the next 2 weeks off, and I can't think of a better way to spend my vacation time. And don't wait for us to call you. You just get here and wear a scarf or something. Or, you know, I look at basketball games and they're carrying placards. Kobe, will you marry me? I don't see many of those anymore. I'm here to work. While we take advantage of placing people and training them until God sends or revives those that want to work here full time and get on the telephone. I'm telling you, I want somebody to come over here and before the next festival, I want those two secret 16 things brought back down to zero. Remember, the most difficult secret we had was 6. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
I don't intend to let the devil win on this one, so we're going to go secret 16 again. By next Christmas, and some of you learn the mistake of waiting for God to provide it instead of starting to sacrifice early in the year. We're going to do it. So I want that those thermometers down to zero when Lifetime stops tonight. And you can start making your secret 16 pledges for 2004 right now. I'm going to have 300 that give 10,000. And interesting, more people gave 10 than did 3,000. I'm going to have 700 give 3,000 and 300 give 10,000. And we're going to make it this year. I won't let the devil have this victory. You shouldn't either. So you can start making your pledges now. There isn't anybody that can't participate in one or the other, the 3,000 or the 10,000. But right now, I'm wanting volunteers. And I'm sort of seeing one thing missing. Not enough of you are volunteering to be camera people and come for training on Saturday night. If we're not at the cathedral, depending upon your responses this week, I'll certainly be at King's House 1. And there's got to be the camera training Saturday night. I need some of you to take that seriously until I have a bench to call upon on Sunday morning as this flu epidemic continues to spread. Now, get on the telephone. Now, you better expect me to show up any time for a festival this week. Just be ready. I expect an army to descend on this studio at various times through this week. And we've only started separating the wheat from the chaff in this congregation. Don't take me for granted. Don't take God for granted. He doesn't like it worse than I don't like it. Now, you still got time, and there's voices of faith here to make the commitment you've been putting off, so get on the telephone.